Actually, it was 25. I've always had a special feeling for the Pentateuch, those five books of the Bible. Spent a lot of time there in the past, studying the Genesis, the beginnings of all things, and Exodus, and also the tabernacle and all the furniture and everything. We're just going to take a few verses here, and I think maybe we might move on to Ephesians 4 after this. Exodus 25, beginning with verse 1. This is in the 19th chapter, is a very special chapter to me anyway, was when they first arrived at Mount Sinai. God spoke to them, and he was going to make them a peculiar people and a special people, that they would just hear his voice. So we're not very far removed from, in fact, we're still there. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. And he begins to list all of the things that they were to bring, the gold, the silver, the blue, the purple, scarlet, all those things that are listed. You can wonder, they just came out of Egypt. Where did they get all this stuff?
From the Egyptian.
Right, they got it from the Egyptian. God had said when they came out they were going to loot them. Get their past wages for the last 400 years. So this is where they got all these things. But what's interesting to me is the Hebrew word for offering there in verse 2 and verse 3 actually means a heave offering. A good example of the heave offering is found in 8th chapter of Leviticus. We're not going to go over there. But Moses was going to set Aaron and his sons into the ministry of the priesthood. So they were to be ordained. And they took what they call the ram of consecration and they offered it up. And he took the choice parts of the innards of the ram. And the fat was always special. So they took the choice parts, and then they took some unleavened bread that represents the word, and some with oil upon it, which represents the anointing. And the choice parts of the innards of the ram represented that special, unique virtues and things of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this was put onto the hands of Aaron and his sons. So for that reason, the heave offering was often called the filling of the hands. Then after that was done, they had lifted it up. That's why it's called the heave offering. What that meant was the ministry of Christ was placed in their hands. And then it became a heave offering. In other words, they were giving it right back to the Lord. So it's a recognition of he gives us the ministry, but we give it back to him, signifying that it's not us, but him working through us, that he is the ministry. And so here in Exodus 25, you find basically the same principle. These things that were brought and offered were a heave offering. They had received it, and they were giving it back to the Lord. Of course, each one of these, the gold represents divine nature, silver represents redemption, and brass, judgment, and the blue, purple, scarlet. All of these things had a special meaning, and I don't intend to go over all of them at this time. But it's also noticeable here what says, they shall bring an offering, the first two, every man that gives it willingly with his heart. So if a person didn't, if he wasn't willing to give it, he wasn't required to. God only wanted the offerings that would come from those who were willing to give it with their heart. And that's the way it is with us. It has to be the desire that we give whatever it is the Lord has given us, we give it back to him in recognition that it's him in us and we have a willing heart. And then in verse 8, all of these things were given in order to let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And this is the thing that the Lord has always wanted to do. He wants to dwell within His people, not around them, but in them. It's been the plan from the very beginning, from the get-go. God has been intending to make us His dwelling place. So they're building this sanctuary. This will be the tabernacle. And in verse 9, He had said, according to all that I show you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments. In other words, the heavenly tabernacle. Moses was given understanding of the spiritual application of that, and he was to build the natural tabernacle according to what he saw. So it's a natural thing that represents something that is spiritual. The dwelling within us, that's a key. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, because this is where that is worked out and accomplished within the body of Christ. I think I'll just start reading with verse 1. Or maybe I'll let y'all do some reading.
I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
And what is that vocation? The ministry that was placed into the hands of the priesthood and then was heaved back to God. It's that ministry of the Lord within us. All right, next 3.
There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Oh, yes. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and where? In you all. How did we miss that in the past? This whole Bible is talking about that one thing. All the way through, from Genesis to Revelation, the whole thing is that God wants to live within His people. We're to become... Let me back up a minute. Jesus Christ spent 3.5 years ministering on the earth. Got to the end of His ministry in John 20, I think. He tells His disciples, as the Father sent me, so send I you. In other words, the disciples were to be the Christ that functioned after Jesus. And literally, Jesus Christ ministering through them, but they became the Christ. And here it's happened again. The body of Christ is to be the Christ on the earth. Now, let's see how that happens. Verse 7. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Now that's not talking about going down into the center of the earth. What this is speaking about is we are the earth. And first he descends down into us. And then he ascends from us. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. There's the filling again, like the filling of the hand. So that has to do with the ministry. He fills us with himself that he might minister through us. Then in verse 11 it says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then beginning with verse 12 and 13, he tells why he gives them. But if you're an apostle, you can't brag about it. If you're a prophet, you can't brag about it. Why? Because he descends into us, and then he ascends as the ministry. So if I was to be an apostle, it would not be me, but it would be the Lord. He is the apostle. I may have an apostolic ministry, but He is the apostle. I may have a prophet's ministry, but He is the prophet. I may be a pastor, but He is the real shepherd of the sheep, you see. So that's important. And then it tells why, for the perfecting of the saints, these ministers are given for this purpose, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church cannot become what it's supposed to be without the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And of course some will say, well, we've got evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Well, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers that this is speaking of works with the apostles and prophets. Okay? And so, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The body of Christ is to become a perfect man. And what is that perfect man? It's Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, not a reasonable facsimile, not almost there, but the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the church has to become. That is the body of Christ. And then look at 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And that's what has happened. Every church has its particular special doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The body of Christ is just that, it's a body. Jesus is the head of it. For that reason, when you go into the holy place of the tabernacle, there's a lampstand with seven lamps, three on each side, and then the center lamp is a little bit higher than the rest. And the six is the number of man, so it's that lampstand with seven lamps represents the body of Christ, and He is the head. He's the number one. He's a little higher than everybody else. We become as He is, but we never become more than He is. Now verse 16 is very interesting. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now here's the interesting thing. The ministry begins with verse 11. These ministers of apostles, prophets, and so forth. And they work and they minister for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry to all come into the fullness of the body of Christ. But then when you get down to verse 16, it's not just those ministers, but it's the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that every joint supply. So what we saw in verse 11, 12, and 13, with these ministries working to build up the body of Christ, now in verse 16, the whole body is functioning. Every joint supplies, working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. 16 is the result of all the work that takes place before that. And that's the reason that we work like we do. The old way of churches where someone coming in, he's the king, he's the pastor, he brings all the messages, he does everything. All we have to do is just go in, sit down and listen. That doesn't happen with the body of Christ. But everybody becomes a functioning member. Every joint supplies, every member. And then you see that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers completely wiped out. There's no more chiefs. Now, everybody becomes a chief. Maybe I should say it that way. God wants to dwell in his people.
Amen.